So that Canaan Church is the church that we are actually going to be the congregation that we're going to be building a church for, which is going to be pretty neat. So, all right, so as we go around,
and my name is Rakaya.
I'm a sophomore, and my name's Rylan.
I'm Jude, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Aubrey, and I'm a senior.
So, a couple questions for you guys. What made you decide?
Also, we're having an actual project of building a church, and I think that would be cool to do.
My sisters and my dad went out one to India, and they had a really good time, and so I wanted to try it out.
I've never been on a mission trip or out of the country, and I just wanted to help people.
I went on a mission trip last year, and I had a lot of fun, so I thought this one would be fun, too.
All right, what are you...
It's to help others and go to the beach.
Helping others and going to the beach.
Yeah.
Helping others...
And going to the beach.
And going to the beach.
And going to the beach. Yeah, look at that. Okay. Good. All right. And about going to the beach, right? Oh, okay. What? Yeah.
Getting sunburned.
Forgetting something.
Being eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Yep. All good worries. What?
Spray.
A swimsuit.
Toothpaste.
Sunscreen.
Okay. And what?
My bed, and pets.
My pets and my family, and my bed.
All right. And now, Brad is going to come on up.
Okay, we would like to invite the rest of this all-star team forward because you only saw a very small snippet of them. So whether you're a student at RVAA going on this trip, if you are one of the amazing adults as well, please make your way up to the front. We are going to crowd you on the stage so that this church family can see who they are praying for during this week. We also, as they are making their way forward, would like to thank you, those of you that supported the benefit banquet auction to help make it possible for, or should we say the dessert dinner that made it possible for them to be here and be a part of this experience. A part of our mission statement, of course, is inspiring and putting our students in positions of service for their lifetime.
And this very is few pleasures in life, Phoenix. Just let me have this.
Congregation have helped make this a possibility. So a few of you may notice that we have some repeats from India, and we have a lot of new blood as well. So we are grateful for this great team. We'd also like to thank the other churches, whether it be Gateway, whether it be Grants Pass. We have representatives from Valley View, so we have multiple constituent churches, and we thank you for being here, a part of this. And right now, we'd like to ask any pastors or elders to come forward and just kind of put a hand on this group as they're together, and just, not that there's anything magical in doing that, but it just shows the commitment and the commission that our God is going to be working powerful miracles through this experience while you are there serving in the República Dominicana. Very excited for each one of you in this. So again, we'd just like to invite you to bow with us as we pray, and then this week, please continue to lift them up in prayer as they just have an opportunity for a beautiful experience. Please bow your heads with us. Heavenly Father, we just lift this group up to you in a special way. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to be with them, that you will use them to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Many of them have no idea what spaces and experiences they're going to be a part of. But Lord, we just pray that you will work with them, work with the talented adults that are here as well, that have the construction expertise that we're so grateful for. We have medical assistants and just great overall students that are a part of this experience. I pray that their lives will be changed in a way that will continue to help build your kingdom that is coming very soon. We love you, and again, just commend this group to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for that, and for all your guys' support. I'm going to say this multiple times, but this trip would not have been possible without all of your help, whether that's financially, whether it's through your prayers, whether it's through your support in other ways, whether it's through just showing up and helping out. Thank you all for your part in helping us get this trip started. I'm not going to say in giving us a successful trip, because we haven't gone yet, so I'm going to wait a couple weeks to say that. But I'm just so glad to be here. I'm so glad that you guys are here. Thank you so much. I completely forgot the slide clicker thingy. But as I was thinking of the story, my mind kept coming back to the story of Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai. Now, that might be a strange thing to think of, because when we typically think of God, of Moses receiving the law, we think of the Ten Commandments, or we think of the story of the golden calf. But actually, the majority of what was given at Sinai was not a list of do's and don'ts. It was something much more important that reveals the heart of God. Because after God gives the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel, they accept the covenant. And then God responds in an interesting way. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. God says, "Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them." This is maybe the most underrated idea in all of Scripture, that the God of the universe, who put the stars in the sky, who formed the smallest atom, would want to dwell with Israel. You know, I don't think we spend enough time thinking about what God wants to happen. Now, don't get me wrong, we talk a lot about what we think God wants to do, about what God may or may not find appropriate, about what we think God should find and not find appropriate. But when it comes to the question of what God wants, what is God's desire? What is the purpose of God's heart?
We don't spend as much time there. What does God want? Take a look at these verses and see if you can pick up on the desire of God's heart. Exodus chapter 29, verses 44 through 46. God says, yes, I will consecrate the tabernacle and the altar. I will consecrate Aaron and his priests to serve and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will live among the people of Israel and be their God. And they will know that I am the Lord their God. I am the one who brought them out of Egypt so that I could live among them. I am the Lord their God. Leviticus 26, 11 and 12, God says, I will live among you and I will not despise you. I will walk among you. I will be your God and you will be my people. And finally, looking towards the end of time itself, God tells us why he is excited to come take us home. In Revelation 21, 3, a loud shout is heard from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. I think I've told this story before, but I've spent a lot of time, especially as a kid, thinking about what heaven is going to be like and all the cool stuff I'm going to get to do, like fly or pet an animal that I like shouldn't be allowed to pet, like a lion or like a, like a mouse or something. Think of all the delicious food that I'll get to try, all the new things I'll get to learn, all the hobbies I'll get to pick up. You know how many hobbies you can pick up in eternity? A whole lot of them. Maybe I'll learn to knit. We spend a lot of time thinking about what heaven is going to be like for us. And it is wild that in Revelation 21:3, when God thinks of what heaven must be like, what heaven is going to be like, God gets excited to spend time with you. God is waiting with bated breath for the moment that he gets to dwell with us, to be near us physically and interact with us the way that we interact with each other. The desire of God's heart is to dwell with us. And this desire, it started with the sanctuary, a sacred space where God could interact with humanity. God tells Israel, make me a sacred space, a place that we call church, a special place where we can come and interact with God. And God doesn't need a special place, let's be clear. God can and is with us wherever we are. In fact, God often appears in the strangest and least obvious places. But in God's command to build him a dwelling, there seems to be this call, this yearning for God to have a place set aside just for him, just for us. It might seem like such a small thing to us to have a dedicated space where we can meet with God, a place that's been specifically prepared for the sole purpose of interacting week after week with the divine. But in plenty of areas, due to lack of resources or space, people don't have the luxury of a set apart space. They have to meet in cramped homes, often at the whim of their members. They have to meet in revolving spaces, never sure where they're going to be week to week. They have to put up with temporary places that'll work for a little bit, then we have to find something else. Again, this is not an impossible thing. God is not tied to a building, but there is a reason that God wanted Israel to have a sacred space. I love the way the great Christian thinker C.S. Lewis in his essay, Letters to Malcolm, puts it. He says, it is well to have specifically holy places and things and days. For without these focal points or reminders, the belief that all is holy or big with God will soon dwindle into a mere sentiment. Having set apart spaces where we can come together with people who believe as we do, who love God as we do, it does something. It gives a shared sense of community, a unique awareness of God's presence, and a place to come together in worship. And when God commands Israel to build him a dwelling, Israel agrees. Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. God says, "Tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings, accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them." Free will offerings from the heart to build this new space, an opportunity to partner with God, not only in our ideas and our thoughts, but also our actions and even our very finances. And boy, did they. Exodus chapter 36, 4 through 7. "Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, 'The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do.' So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp: 'Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough.' So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings, and their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project." When God gave Israel the opportunity to partner with him, to give offerings from their heart, the people gave so much that Moses had to tell them to stop. Can you imagine having that problem today? Moses had to tell them to stop giving. They were so generous that their giving overflowed. God's people gave so they could build a dwelling for God. They gave of their money, their prayers, their time, their energy. They gave of themselves. And when it was finished, the earth experienced the sanctuary, a living parable for the plan of salvation and God's purpose for the world. But more importantly, the sanctuary was a place for God to dwell with his people. Now, we know that God doesn't dwell solely in a house. The God of the Bible does not haunt abandoned buildings or demand lavish accommodations. But there's something sacred in having a space to come together to worship. The church that we're going to in the Dominican Republic, the Canaan Church, it does not have this luxury. As you saw in the video, they're in a home with minimal space. But they have heard God's call on their heart. Not simply to build a structure, or for the church to own property, or for tax breaks, or even personal comfort. No, they have been called to build God a dwelling. And it is only through our generosity, like the Israelites of old, that we can partner with God to make this happen. And you have supported us in so many ways. This mission trip is happening because this community and many other communities like it in the Rogue Valley have supported and helped make this happen. And these kids are sacrificing their spring break to go on this trip. Rogue Valley has widely set aside 2 full weeks for spring break so that we can recover and have a little bit of spring break when we get back from mission trip. But we're leaving tomorrow, and we get back to the school in 10 days on next Wednesday at like 5 a.m. And the kids really are only going to get Thursday through Sunday. Take out Sunday to do back-to-school stuff and get ready to go back, and these kids really only have 3 days of break. But they're doing it so they can serve this church and help build a dwelling for God. I just got this email yesterday. The kids haven't even seen it yet. This is the current structure of the Canaan Seventh-day Adventist Church. And by God's grace, through a lot of work and hard sweat and some fun in between, when we finish, this building will either be done or very close to it. And so now, as we get ready to go, we are asking for one more thing. Remember us in prayer these next 10 days, that this mission trip can be productive, it can be a blessing, that we can enjoy it and do what God has called us to do. A new church may not seem like a big deal to us, especially a church this size, and in the grand history of the cosmos, it probably isn't. But I know the one for whom the desire to dwell with his people is all-consuming. And I know that God is waiting with bated breath for the day that he will get to come take us home and dwell not in man-made structures, but together with you forever. So these next 10 days, we're going to do our best to be a blessing to a community that needs our help. Thank you for your prayers and support. And we will see you in a few weeks. Let's pray. Dear God, you are an incredible God whose desire of your heart is to dwell with us, to be with us, to spend time with us. Soon in the future, physically together when you come to take us home, but now in the present, in these sacred spaces of worship, these set apart buildings. And so as we head off on this mission trip, I ask that you give a special blessing to all of us that are going, and give a blessing to the people that are here as well. Help them to remember to pray for us, to follow your calling on their heart, whatever that might be. And help us to come back safe in a couple of weeks so we can share all the cool stuff that we did and saw and how you worked. We love you. Come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.